So yes, I guess in summary, we are all very against raising the floor. We feel like there are ways of managing it. There's very little risk, we feel, and we're happy to apply flood management strategies in this area. And we are raising the floor somewhat, just not quite as much as the council engineer would like us to raise it. So should I move on to the other minor issues or... Okay. The privacy treatment to the front window, this was something that we raised in response to raising the floor levels. It wasn't something that came out of a concern from council. So we'd just like that clause deleted, please, because we're happy to treat privacy with curtains from the inside. It's come back as a condition to modify the window and maybe do some obscure glazing, and it's all not necessary. We can just put a curtain on the window and deal with it ourselves rather than be conditioned. Sorry, they're not numbered, so it's hard to refer to. But it's the front window in the western elevation privacy treatment.
Just so that I can understand your submission, you want to retain the existing glazing, is that what you're saying?
Yes, just if you can just delete any requirements to do anything to that window, we'll be able to deal with anything that we need to do there without having it conditioned. We'll just keep the existing window or replace it with like window, and if we need to put some film on the lower window, we'll do that at another point.
Then, well, perhaps film could be the condition.
It doesn't need to be. We just like to put a curtain on to start. It's not arising out of council's concern. It's arising out of what we've stated as our concern, as a kind of justification for one of our justifications for not raising the floor. It's not overlooking anyone. We can deal with that. We just like it to be removed as a condition.
But I think the council's concerned that the consent runs with the land, it doesn't run with who's living in the property, and the council or the panel has to impose conditions to protect the amenity of whoever's living there. We can't guarantee that whoever's living there is going to put up curtains. So,
however, I feel that it was our condition that council had not raised that condition until we raised the issue. That was only added in
response to raising the...
Yeah, but after us raising it as an issue, I don't think it's a real concern. Yeah. The tree management. I think on site we had a few height poles put in on a rainy morning. There seems to be a very minor loss of canopy, so we'd appreciate some consideration that on such a small site as a 6 metre tree with perhaps a 4 metre canopy would probably take out all sunshine out of the courtyards and also affect our neighbour. So we're greening the space, we're improving it from what it is currently. We're happy to establish our own planting, and if something needs to be conditioned, a lesser tree we'd be happy with.
We did note that on site this morning. I'm just wondering whether a reduction in the reference 6 metres to 3 metres would satisfy.
That would be good. It's just also on small sites with council's kind of general prescriptive 1.5 off boundaries. Sometimes it places a tree right in the middle of a courtyard, which is your only usable space.
I think you've got scope in the space. 1.5 metres from the boundary should be okay there.
If it's in the southern courtyard, it's in the middle of the courtyard. If it's in the northern courtyard, it shades the southern. I don't know if there's any, being a smaller tree, if there's any change to setbacks.
They're not numbered. This report's not numbered. 424. Would one tree at 3 metres be acceptable? Might bring the birds.
Oh, there's a underground. I has an underground car park referenced, and the rock. Okay, fine. And the 500 freeboard, it was 300. It's just a minor thing, just in case.
Sorry, on that page 425, flood level plus 300?
Yes.
300 and...
300.
Yeah, that was the stated.
Mini point one. In the paragraph above it, it refers to 300.
Yeah, but is that right?
Yeah, flood level plus, yes, which is the error.
In communication with council, it's been 300 to date. It's considered a lower risk freeboard.
So there's a contradiction.
Yes. And in the main clause, it says 300. You'll see it in the trail of communication from council that it's been referred to by hydraulics as 300.
Roman numeral 1 on page 425.
Oh, okay. Garage. So do we know if
the freeboard for a dwelling is 500 or 300?
Yeah.
But we don't know.
The engineer's communications on record from council being 300 consistently, I think... The first advice we got from them.
Okay. Would there be any other conditions that we need to look to amending that from the 500 to the 300?
Yeah, just control C5 refers to 300 and 500, two kinds of calculations for freeboard. So I think the last one is the existing awning, which is... maybe, Joss, you want to help me find it? There's reference to setting back the awning and proposed awning, but we have no proposed awning as such. It's an existing awning. And then there's a requirement to light that awning for pedestrians, whereas we're not in a shopping strip and we're not an evening business. And we feel like this is a kind of a hangover requirement if we were to be in a more continuous business zone or had foot traffic shopping during the evening. It is a lit intersection. There are traffic lights and street lights.
Which page are you on,
please? So we're trying to find that.
Oh,
sorry.
Thank you.
Page 420. Page 420, condition 18.
And what should it start with?
The existing awning shall be remain of cantilever.
And then. Yes, but it's a little perplexing because it says and set back at least 600 millimetres to the curb line. the proposed awning shall be designed so as to be easily removed. Well, it's an existing awning, so it's all a little, it's not a good fit to what we're proposing to do.
Is the existing awning set back 600 mils?
It's set back some amount. Sorry.
So what you want us to do is to delete the second and third sentences in that paragraph.
I think...
That's all we need to do.
The proposed awning shall be designed so as to be easily removed if required in the future. Well, you pull it down regardless. It's an existing awning. Yes, please delete that.
Main Street.
And the awning shall include pedestrian lighting.
As long as
shall be maintained. And
so can I just clarify, you're not rebuilding the awning?
No.
You're not touching the awning?
No, no,
with
no.
All the additions, the awning stays as is?
Yes.
And it's like safe and in good repair as it is?
It's fine, yep, yep. We'll make sure it's well supported.
Right.
Can I sum up?
You said
I guess so. Just, I guess we can... The flood, I guess, is our main...
You covered the window.
Yeah.
You covered the tree at the back.
Yeah.
You covered the
awning. Yep.
Okay. Our difficulty is with the flooding issue, you haven't come back with any experts' opinion of something that would assist in ameliorating the flood situation. I mean, you mentioned something in your presentation about that it could be an alternative. Well, it's very difficult for the panel to understand without... It's a very technical area, and council is liable, as was mentioned, if they approve things that are in a flood-affected zone. So that is just a standard way that we proceed in terms of flooding issues.
Yes, but if we return to the trigger, which is the size of the area being considered, which is below 30 metres squared.
But I think we look at the development as a whole. The development of a whole is not just... If you weren't doing the whole upstairs, then possibly, because then you may be similar to the other situations nearby. But when you're doing quite a significant redevelopment of the site, adding a whole second story, then I think it's reasonable that the actual upgrade requirement kick in. That's my view anyway.
Yeah. Flood is only relating to ground floor work. No, but it's also most relevant. We are, however, not increasing flood hazard risk. We're proposing good materials. It's sited as it was. Evacuation is fine. We can go upstairs or out the back door. All electrical services can be suitably located. We can tick all those.
But we haven't got anything before us which demonstrates that to a flood engineer's satisfaction.
Yes, well, I guess I'm trying to return to what triggers the flood. Any other ideas, Bruce? What? We can't provide that at a later date, can we? It's just now.
No, you can't. You can always ask for a modification to the development application, but you can't expect us to consider something that's proffered without an expert's technical advice.
Okay.
We're inclined to insist on raising the floor level. There's nothing to stop you coming back with a modification application supported by a hydrological engineer who can say that it's not required.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find a hydrological engineer to say that it's not required, then it's open for you to come back, as I said, with a modification application.
Mm-hmm. front. Yeah. Okay, if that's the position of the panel, could we keep our deferred commencement on resubmission of plans? I believe the hydraulics engineer at council would be happy if we were to show a more limited raising of the front entry area. We've got a little style. We can go up and down sooner, so we don't have to raise the bedrooms because they're all enclosed by walls. And it's his concern that the water comes in the front door. Are we? It's like a bund. It's just two steps up, but we go down quicker, so we don't have to remove all those front.
If we had options like that in front of us in the report, then we could look at it, but we don't. So I'd be reluctant to add conditions of something that the engineers may have talked about that we haven't seen documented. I'm not disputing it has happened, but it needs to be in our report. We need to be transparent as to what we're agreeing to.
So whose report? Our return?
There's nothing in the report that we are working off.
Right.
That says, oh, there's some solution, we've talked about it with the applicant, that could come back and do something different. We don't have that in front of us as a recommendation. So I think as the panellist members suggested, if there is some other solution, then come back with a modification to it.
We can't expose the council to a risk of being sued.
No.
If damage occurs,
right, you can't,
as a result of something we've approved, knowing that it's in a flood zone.
I acknowledge that. You can't keep the deferred commencement, or are you here tonight to change the deferred to approved or not approved? Is that your purpose?
We're here to determine it. Tonight.
Determine it.
Yes,
yep.
Or no. We can't leave limbo.
Right. So you can't leave it deferred. Because sometimes a deferred commencement, we could submit something to councils.
No, that's deferring the determination.
Right.
A deferred commencement is different to deferring the development application.
Right.
So you can ask us to defer this matter to allow additional information to be provided.
Hmm.
That is distinctly different from determining and admit that a deferred commencement consent, which is conditions that have to be satisfied prior to the operational condition taking effect.
Right. Well, that's us not understanding the system, I guess. We always felt we had this fallback, which if we were unable to keep the floor level down, then we had this alternate solution. So is there no other way of achieving that without another application? I think we're at 150 days so far. That's our new office location.
Well, you can do it by a modification application,
4.55. Okay. And is that 50% the cost of the application?
I'm not aware of councils.
Mm.
Sorry? All right, no.
Okay, so it's a minor.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Is that where we're at, Bruce? Thank you very much. I know it's been a long day.
No.
Okay.
I think he'll be happy with that.
Okay. We're not here next week, but if we can raise a meeting, once these minutes come out and things,
yeah,
we'll raise a meeting and see if we can talk about the best way forward for him.
Okay.
Condition 17, delete the reference to trees and substitute tree. And delete the reference to 6 metres and substitute 3 metres.
Page 419.
418. We delete 1A2.
Yep. We'll start at the beginning?
Yeah.
How logical. Condition, this is going back to the beginning of the consent. Condition A2, page 418, yes. Be deleted.
Yep.
Page 419, the dot point that begins the area to be used for substitute business premises for the word office. That's halfway down 419.
The permissible use in the zone is business premises. It's not office. And it's got a distinct definition, so I just want to make sure that we're only...
Condition three, and there it's
business premises? Business premises, yeah.
We've got condition 39 on page 424. I think it's, or it could be a note. I'm not 100% sure of my condition numbering. The canopy replacement tree must be planted, etc. Substitute 6 metres for 3 metres. Sorry, take out the 6 and put in the 3. Page 425, I'm not sure the condition number, but it's the second paragraph. The site has been identified as being subject to, etc. Freeboard of 300 is correct in that first paragraph. The Roman numeral point 1, 41. Roman numeral point 1, flood level plus 300. Millimetres, not 500. I think that's it. Did we get everything?
I think that's everything. Okay. Decision of the panel is to adopt recommendations A and B in the assessment report. And then reasons for the decision. One, the development is permissible under the B1 neighbourhood centre zone and or under the existing use provisions in Division 4.11 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979. Two, the panel otherwise supports the findings contained in the assessment report and endorses the reasons for approval contained in that report. Subject to the amended conditions above. Three, for the reasons given above, approval of the application is in the public interest. All right, that's the end of that item. We can now move on to item 10. Is someone here in relation to item 10? Yeah. Item 10 is conversion of an existing hardware store into 3 two-storey dwellings with associated parking and remediation of the site. So who have we got here?
Hi, my name's Harriet Kensel. I'm from COSO Architecture.
No, they had to leave, unfortunately. Yeah, sorry. So I'm just saying that we confirm that we're happy with the decision or the recommendation and draft conditions, with the exception of condition 5F, which nominates wallaby and windspray as the colour of the roof. Sorry. So it's page 6 of... Yeah, 491. Yeah. Yes, so we just request that galvanised corrugated roofing to be added as an option, and council heritage officers have previously considered this option okay. So
sorry, what did you say?
Galvanised corrugated roofing. Yes, except they nominate wallaby or windspray colours. No, it's not within our design intent of the existing building. Yes.
And did you talk to the council's heritage person about this?
No, but we did comply with all of their recommendations in their requests for information and throughout the process with pre-DA and throughout the whole process. So this was just part of this document where the colours were nominated.
So can you just explain why you're asking for galvanised corrugated steel?
Yes.
As opposed to what the condition says?
Yes. So it's within the character of the area to have galvanised.
Mm-hmm.
And our heritage expert has said that council heritage officers have previously accepted this option in the past.
Is that because they didn't have cobble button
Yes, maybe.
Can I ask, so as submitted on your application,
yes,
what colour did you propose
galvanized
for the roof?
Galvanised.
So the heritage person has said, no, we don't want galvanised then.
Well, they've just said the materials and finishes board is to be updated, requiring a pre-coloured traditional corrugated steel to be used, finished in a colour equivalent to colour bond colours, wallaby or windspray. However, it is actually more traditional to have a galvanised roofing.
But if they liked it as galvanised, they wouldn't have put the condition on. If they thought it was appropriate to have it galvanised, then they wouldn't have put the condition on. We have to assume.
Assumably, but...
I mean, and you'd discussed it with the heritage planner beforehand?
No, it was never highlighted as an issue before.
It was never an issue before?
No, exactly.
Mm.
Yes.
They weren't. They were galvanised. I know. That's why I'm just trying to understand why the heritage officer had put that on. He's not here, is he, Luke? No. Okay.
If that's the materials board that the heritage architect's based his advice on, heritage officer has based his advice on, perhaps it's not actually labelled galv, that? Maybe not.
So
I mean, because it's an electronic referral that they get.
What page is it on?
525 of the package.
Well, can we just change it to the heritage officer's approval?
To council's heritage office approval?
Yes. Yeah. Because, I mean, what you're saying, it seems to me,
and if he says it has to be wallaby or windspray, so be it. Okay.
So we omit the word finished in a colour equivalent to colour box, colour windspray, wallaby, and substitute.
Institute approved by the Council's Heritage Consultant, Building Heritage Officer.
Can I ask that?
Anything else?
There was a condition that was proposed that mentioned there needed to be no lift overrun. Are you able to comply with that condition? You can.
Just say that we should mention the fact that clause 4.6 variation is required. Yes, but in the panel's opinion, it meets the objectives of the zone and the development standard, and is therefore in the public interest. Just to note on the record, yeah. And that we do note the objectors' concerns. There were some 13 original objections, and that. These have been addressed in Council's report. Many of these are not matters for the development application because the development is permissible in the R1 zone and it is a most appropriate adaptive reuse.
Thank you.